Well, it's pretty gosh dang cold out there, and it's getting colder. In the meantime, things are heating up in the presidential race and on the Republican side. And once again, there is a belief that although Trump had said something that seemed to be death-inducing in any other candidate, he is now towering over the GOP field with an unprecedented, I'm quoting this, 33-point lead, unprecedented 33-point lead. So at what point does this panicking party admit almost certainly going to be, I mean, he's going to be on the medal, you know, like the Olympics, right? He's going to be holding a gold, a silver, a bronze. But I, you know, there's a debate tonight. But at what point does this lost and very confused GOP party come to grips with the fact that he quite possibly, very possibly, is going to be the nominee? Not only that, but all of the things that they've tried to kill him. This is like a classic sci-fi thriller, a monster movie. Everything they've done to try to kill him only makes him stronger. Huh? What are they going to come to those conclusions? We have Kiki, Sheriff Kiki, on yesterday. A very interesting show. He stuck to his guns, speaking of which. It's all over the news, what's going on in the county, speaking of unprecedented. And, you know, you've got to admire these people who take what some would say are radical positions and then stick to them. But I was thinking, you know, when you think about guys that women go crazy over, not all women, but you've heard of the bad boy, you know, all the nerds of the world complaining, why do women love bad boys? Guys that are type A, that sometimes rude, antagonistic, opinionated, cocky. These are some qualities that some women find very enticing. And isn't that who Donald Trump is? He doesn't care. He'll stand up and say anything that's on his mind. He doesn't really give a rat's hind quarter what the reaction is. I think that's a lot to do with it. And then you see the president is seen as not just dithering, but it struck me last night as I was thinking about this. I think we've reached critical mass in terms of the president where people can no longer simply dismiss his decision making as accidental or uninformed or well-meaning. A lot of the stuff that he has done over his 7 years has been dangerous and extremely harmful to America, Americans, or America's reputation. And I think we've reached the point with the and most people are not buying into what the president is saying. Most people, 5, 2, 3, 14, 50, most people are not buying into the president's speech, which was seen as having all the wrong elements in it. Anti-gun control, for example, pro-gun control, anti-guns. You know, we wouldn't need to worry about Islam if not for, gun control, taking the guns. And I heard this fantastic interview with Kurt Russell, the star, who, I mean, he pounded this guy. He pounded this guy. This guy picked a fight with him, and he returned. This guy kind of kept bringing this thing up, and he kept, you know, what is the kind of the classic leftist way? If you disagree with me, you're either stupid, you're uneducated, or you're evil, you know? And so, this is the thing that I don't understand. I mean, I would take an educator, like kind of an informed conservative in a debate over a informed, so whatever you want to call it, socialist or whatever, because I think conservatives work through issues conservatives think way through issues, whereas I think people on the far left, not the listeners of the show, of course, but people on the far left, they adopt their ideas and they assume that they're right. But you know, here we are caught up in this fight for our lives, and we're being told, I mean, you can imagine this. There is an outbreak of arson in the county. And what does the president do? He stands up and suggests the real issue here is fire extinguishers or it's sprinkler systems. I mean, it's just people are supposed to give up their weapons and then wait to be exterminated like laboratory animals, you know? Here is a clip from Kurt Russell talking to a really typical an ignoramus of a Hollywood lefty. Check this out.
Born identity thing. Well, after Kurt Russell putting gun control advocates on blast during a recent interview, listen to this.
If you think gun control or something like that is going to change a terrorist point of view, I think you're like out of your mind. I think you're like, I think anybody is. I think it's absolutely insane. If I'm a hockey team and I got a guy bearing down on me as a goaltender, I'm not concerned about what he's going to do. I'm going to make him concerned about what I'm going to do.
I get that.
To stop him.
From a position of strength. Well, the actor got into a bout with an interviewer during promotions for Quentin Tarantino's new movie, The Hateful Eight. He said gun control laws would only make it so people who want to defend themselves won't be able to.
That's common sense, right? I mean, that's just total common sense. But common sense is often sacrificed by these people to the liberal gods. The whole interview is worth listening to, and I'll play that for you later. It's about 6 minutes. But in the meantime, here's a little clip from your NFL. Check this out. It's New York versus Miami.
Tonight's game in Miami. New York trying to keep pace with Philadelphia and Washington. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, teammates down at LSU with some love beforehand. And Beckham continues to make plays that just defy reason. That's Eli Manning, who had a huge night. And Beckham saying, I got it. They take a look at this. And at what point does he have possession? Maybe right there. He's got the left foot in, dragging the right toe. Pylon camera gives you a great look at it again. You can see the dirt sticking up from his foot. Pretty remarkable stuff, but he makes it look routine. Ties things up at 24. So the fourth quarter, and it's Manning and Beckham again. He steps up, and that guy cannot be that open ever. Giants take the lead, 31-24. 2 minutes to go, same score. Miami had a couple of possessions around midfield, couldn't make anything out of it. And the question is, do you throw for a first down? If you do, you win the game. They throw, they get the first down, they win the game. 7 grabs, buck 66, 2 touchdowns. Manning had 4 touchdowns, and the Giants get a big win to keep pace in the East.
Odell Beckham Jr. is fabulously talented, no doubt. All right, so I don't think there's any – you know what? Look around you and see the things that the government has been doing the last few decades and understand that is why. That is why Trump is rising. It's not so much that he's the greatest – candidate in history. He's very flawed, but I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I don't get going after this guy like he's the Antichrist and then saying, by the way, let's get as many Syrian rebels into the country as possible. I mean, that's just the stupid decision making by this president is unprecedented. That's what's unprecedented. This, you know, it's really a defiant. It sums up leftism at some level to say leftists stick to their ideas, their socialist Marxist ideas, no matter what, no matter what the outcome is. I mean, how many people were murdered? How many innocent people were murdered in China and Russia to inform everybody in the most obvious way possible? 150 million that Marxism is not just doesn't work, but it's extremely dangerous. I mean, why does it take so much to get through these people's noggins? But you've got so many ill-advised, you know, we've got more people coming across the south border than ever. They're just being swept over into other cities across the United States. And then it's just up to those communities to pay for them under the theory that, you know, you can say that the federal government has the right to control immigration. And therefore, does it follow from that they can do anything that they want? Of course not. This thing called the natural law that says all of these laws can be measured and can be analyzed to see if they're American, to see if they're right, to see if they're good for the country. Where's that analysis? Why do we live at a time when if you can do something legally, you just go ahead and do it, and then everybody has to stand around with their mouth open, you know? Anyway, take a little break here. 6:18, and we'll come back and talk some more about Trump. And also, I'll throw a few other things at you about ISIS. And we've got Walt Rubel coming on.
Thank you.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had heard this, I never let you go.
All right, so Trump over 40% in the polling, 33% lead over his rivals. It's unprecedented. Why? Why? If he's such a terrible person, why is he so far ahead? Just look at the speech that was given. Look at the speech that was given at the after this shooting, and the president hits all the important buttons, right? Don't panic. You know, radical Islam's not that big of a deal. The real problem here is guns. It's infuriating to people that, I mean, how can you, on the other hand, how can you blame Obama? He gets elected twice. So that's a confirmation of everything he believes. And there is some level of this presidency that just seems like self-induced punishment. We were sent this guy to punish us for our sins, right? I don't know how else to explain the fact that it seems like so many of his ideas are out of step with what most Americans or I would say at least half Americans believe. And yet he's been able to stay in there and to do a lot of stuff. You know, much of what he does is executive orders. And so the executive orders lead up to a type of presidential style that is both it's very defiant, but it's also kind of afraid. I think the president's style is fearful. He's either afraid or ignorant of how to really get into the congressional format of passing laws. He prefers to stay on the outside. It's a way of protecting yourself, I think, but it's very inefficient in the sense, or I guess it's an efficient way to bring decision-making into America. But at the same time, as soon as anybody else comes in, they can cancel the stuff that the president has done. And the president is on the verge of losing all of his most important decisions, the things that he and the other progressives are so proud of. the decisions on immigration, on foreign policy, on Obamacare. They're saying that Marco Rubio is single-handedly is killing Obamacare with his statements, with his points about how failed it is economically, how failed it is in application. But anyway, here's just a little taste of Trump here going after Hillary.
Too divisive.
No, Hispanics, I think I'm right.
Look, blacks, women.
I think I'll win the Hispanics. I employ thousands of Hispanics. They love me. I love them. And I think I'm going to do great with women. And one of the...
Let me just fix the... although I don't see how to do it on here, but I think it's a little bit loud. But let me get this going again. He's going after... Trump's going after Hillary.
The reasons I'm going to do great with women is that I'm a leader. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. She's got no strength. She's got no stamina. Everything she does is like theatrical. Oh, Donald Trump said this. He actually, it was sort of interesting. She said, I watched her last night. Donald Trump, looks like she practices in front of a mirror for 2 hours. Donald Trump said, I think he's dangerous. I'm dangerous. She's the one that caused all this problem. With her stupid policies, you look at what she did with Libya, what she did with Syria. Look at Egypt, what happened with Egypt. A total mess. They don't back. We don't back any of our allies. You look, she was truly, if not the, one of the worst Secretary of States in the history of the country. She talks about me being dangerous. She's killed hundreds of thousands of people with her stupidity.
What do you mean she's killed hundreds of thousands?
She was Secretary of State. Obama was president. The team.
Right.
Two real geniuses.
Killed hundreds.
Two real geniuses. Of course. Look at what happened. The Middle East, total disaster under her. She'd travel back and forth. But look at all the problems. Look at, as an example, Iraq. Total disaster. They didn't get us in, but they got us out badly. Okay? Total. We spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives, wounded warriors all over. Look at Libya. Look at Benghazi, our ambassador. He wired her 500 or 600 times asking for help. She'll take her friend's call every time. Hillary Clinton doesn't have the judgment. She doesn't have the strength or the stamina to be president. She will be a terrible president. And I think I'll win.
Finally. Let's.
All right. So that is why nobody – look, this is what Scott Adams is talking about. And by the way, you might think I'm advocating for Trump. I'm not. I'm trying to explain why he's in first place. I think that Trump or Cruz or Rubio – or Carson, fill in the blank here, Chris Christie, all of these people, Rand Paul, all of these people are by far light years preferable to this stale roadkill Hillary on the other side. But you're going to have some person in the booth. You know, you're going to be in the booth with one candidate or the other. Trump is now going after Hillary, and you can hear how devastating it is. You know, and Hillary's approach is, no matter what I've done in the past, I'm better than anybody else. Trump is blowing her out of the water, and he just started. Now, let's let's take a little break here, and we'll I want you to hear this clip from Kurt Russell, because I think that it shows how these type of debates and conversations play out. It really reveals the idiotic mindset of these people who have this, I think it's called magical thinking. You believe something to be true, and therefore you think it is true and will apply itself and establish itself no matter what. It's really a crazy way of looking at the world. It's put us in enormous harm, because I think magical thinking is behind John Kerry and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and all the bad decision making that we've had. We'll be right back. 629 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450. Don't forget, we've got Walt Rubel coming on the break of the hour. It is 6:33, and I've got what looks to be 35 degrees outside. It's supposed to only get to 47, and tonight, 20 degrees. It's going to be a little bit chilly. Okay, the president says we're hammering ISIS more than ever. People have lost faith in the president on the war on terror because he seems like he's disconnected. He doesn't want to say radical Islam, for example. He doesn't want to blame the murderous attacks on these people. He's going to blame it on guns. People get the sense he's hiding something, or caught up in a psychological battle with himself that he's already lost. President is disconnected from reality, and it's a scary thing to see. People feel like, and this is one of the things I wanted to bring up to you, the difference between conservatism and liberalism. People wanted me to talk about that. Let me just kind of over the days try to throw out some of the differences. The conservative movement is based on what is called popular democracy or popular representation. The will of the people is supposed to be established. That's John Locke is the philosopher most tightly associated with the writing of the Constitution and the Declaration. That was his main thing, is that government has to be representative. In a socialist or a liberal, progressive, however you want to explain it, the left, their model is finding the right thing to do and doing it with total disregard to what any poll would tell you, what any group of people say. You go and you find the right thing to do, and you expect resistance because people are stupid, right? And uneducated. There's an elite, there's a small group of people, and we associate these today with the Ivy Leagues coming out of Yale and Harvard and these places, Princeton. These people are educated. They come out of the right class of people. They're educated. They hang around the right people, and they've got the vision to lead the world, to lead the United States. The only problem with that is it totally disregards the collective wisdom of the population. And so what you end up getting is these crazy schemes, these crazy ideas that make the world worse, not better. We're going to cure poverty through social welfare spending, which is now takes more than half of the budget. But as we're doing that, we're creating more social welfare. Why? Because obviously if people can get paid without working, they're going to get paid without working. It's just human nature. And if females can go out and have kids and get paid for each one, it's irresistible. So this approach to governing is, from the left, it's a disaster. But for some reason, there is a just complete rejection of this idea that there's an outcome. You know, we're going to go put in, a tax of 80%, 90%. The tax destroys the economy. The people who put the tax on say that's not really what's relevant. The important thing is that we have justice, social justice, some cliche that's supposed to represent. And I wrote an article about this one time. It's kind of an obscure thing, but I've noticed it time and again. Conservatism is based on the natural law. There is a revealed order out there. If you study nature, if you study mankind and history and the decisions of men and women and their results, you will find an order out there. If your policies, your decision-making, if your laws are based on this revealed order, where some people say the law above the law, natural law, whatever. If you follow that, then you'll have more success, much more success. And so that's what our country is based on. The Constitution and the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, are based out of this strong and very, very robust history of natural law. The Constitution is, if nothing more, an exemplary model of the law above the law, right? I mean, it's, you can't go against the Constitution with your law or your policy and survive. That's the theory. And it's the exact opposite on the other side. So anyway, people wanted a little bit on that. All right, here's Charles Krauthammer. Obama trying to convince us that we are winning against ISIS when it's obviously not true. To a great degree, Trump is picking up on the fear and the concern and the sense that America is dithering or has lost its way in the war on ISIS. And he's winning off that. And the president has become a laughingstock. And I'll tell you, if the president, I just want to make one more point. If the president, through his approach to radical Islam and bringing in Syrians, that type of thing, is revealed to be weak and to put something other than America's safety highest, if his decision-making represents something other than America being protected, Americans being protected, if he does that, then he outs himself as a person of some strange or unsupportable ideas that have to be fought against. So more important than being worried about bringing people who are jihadists into the country from a jihad zone is the important thing that we be ourselves, whatever he claims that to be. But I mean, to be an American doesn't mean to be stupid, to needlessly expose ourselves to danger. What are we proving? And so you get someone pushing against that by, like, Trump, who I believe wins because he says the most obvious conclusion that is normally not set out there. He talks about the total incompetence, how Hillary points a finger at somebody else and says you're dangerous while she's killing tens or hundreds of thousands of people through her incompetence or her lack of caring what her policy does. All right, here's Krauthammer on ISIS.
Not said a lot. So a few of them have walked away from the administration on ISIS strategy. Republicans have been pretty vocal. Senator Tom Cotton out with a statement after the president's address today. President Obama's remarks at the Pentagon were just more of the same tired rhetoric. Why he is just now hitting ISIS harder than ever? Why is he? President Obama once again provided a laundry list of percentages and statistics that may sound impressive, but actually say little about our commitment to the fight against ISIS. It's troubling that in the wake of Paris and San Bernardino, the president seems more concerned about sounding tough than he does about preventing more of these types of attacks. Charles.
Look, his problem is that he's trying to convince us that we are actually prevailing, winning, pushing in on ISIS. The fact is that his own chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff told Congress that we have not contained. We had Dianne Feinstein, the leading Democrat, the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying that it is expanding. We had the Secretary of Defense, Obama's own Secretary of Defense, last week telling Congress that we have not contained ISIS. It is obviously expanding. We've got Beirut, we've got Paris, we have San Bernardino, we have the attack in Sinai. We have ISIS establishing a colony in the city of Sirte in Libya. This is sort of an actual imperial expansion with satellite. And Obama is still trying to convince us that we are winning when it's obviously not true. And the other thing is, when you have to resort to statistics, he has a list of people whom we killed, as if anybody has any idea who they are, is reminiscent of the strategy in the Vietnam War, where we would announce the body counts, the ratio of the dead to Viet Cong to Americans. And it was always lopsided. And we lost the damn war because that's not how you gauge who's winning and losing in such a war.
All right. So obviously the president has lost this sense that he has an instinct for America. You know, one of the things about America that we pride ourselves on is that we try to win. This is something Trump has come up with, but it's deeply rooted. We're pragmatic. We want to do the things that'll help us win. That's why we've made such a great country. We're always trying to improve. And yet the president is stuck on some bizarre definition of war and Islam and everything. And he's trying to think his way out of it. He's trying to argue his way out of it instead of acting. And he, frankly, I'll be totally honest with you, does not have the intellect to be able to take on the task that he's doing. He's a slave to the people who trained him as a child. Kelly O'Connell, 643. You're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll be back. And I've got this clip from Kurt Russell. Here's your Kurt Russell clip. He tears this guy to shreds. You're not going to believe this. Check it out. Some random idiot reporter interviewing Kurt Russell on his new movie, his Quentin Tarantino movie.
I was just looking in the New York Times this morning, and they interviewed the guy interviewed many, many people from the Midwest and from the West about San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic conclusion is that there's everybody out there has this feeling of anxiety about when's the next one.
How do you connect the dots?
I think that there's a feeling about shootings and violence different now in 2015 than it was in the mid 90s.
Oh, sure, it's not the 90s, and it's 2015.
But Quentin's doing the same game.
Quentin does what he does. Yeah, Quentin's, you know, he's like painting a picture. He's like writing a story, or he's like a filmmaker.
Right.
No, I think that to mix and match reality with fantasy is something I don't understand, but that's just me. I think that we should understand the difference. I think that, you know, to mix today's politics with, for instance, in this case, a tale about a fictional tale about just right after the Civil War.
I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about ground level, water table, a feeling that's in people's bones that this New York Times piece is talking about. People are genuinely, you know, between Paris and San Bernardino, there's this thing that sudden violence as a normal day-to-day aspect coming from the gun culture, coming from everything else. It's a different vibe, you know?
I don't understand the concepts of conversation of the gun culture. We've lived with guns since what, the 7th century or something? I don't know.
We all know that right now guns is a trope. It's a totem. It's a metaphor that disenfranchised white guys need. It makes them feel good because they're being
you proud. Can say what you want. I don't agree with that. So it's not my thing.
But it's statistically,
you know. Well, you can look. Beautiful. If you think gun control or something like that is going to change a terrorist point of view, I think you're like out of your mind. I think anybody is. I think it's absolutely insane. The problem we're having right now is that we don't have the concepts of how to turn it around and say, you know, you may think you've got me worried about what you're going to do. Dude, you're about to find out what I'm going to do. And that's going to worry you a lot more.
So here's this guy, and you can hear all the academic pretense coming out, the memes, the symbols. People feel fear in their bones like it's the water table or whatever. This is the academy, the university system taking on national security and failing. It's this guy's an idiot, and so what does he come up and he wants an interview with a famous Hollywood person who he is, you know, hopes is just going to go along with him, and he's going to insult him. By the way, you're a white man. You love guns because you're impotent, or you need this. You know, people are afraid. We need to. How do we protect ourselves? We throw all our guns away. We're living in a bubble. We're protected. If we get rid of all of the, you know, obviously. People who don't follow laws are not going to get rid of their guns. Why? Because they don't care if it's against the law. They need the guns to do their jobs. In the meantime, the law-abiding people are going to get rid of their guns, and then we're going to be safer, right? That is what this type of university, this abomination out of a university, is going to come up and insult somebody and think that he's going to beat them down in a conversation, and the conversation's taken away from him, and he just is pummeled. He doesn't have an answer. And this is just a Hollywood star saying, we need guns. Guns are what is missing in these situations to even out the playing field. You can, person who's, you know, this a shooter up in Colorado or any of these places where there's no guns, except the shooter shows up with guns, no wonder they're calm. They're there to kill people, and they're like in a trance, and they're just going to start shooting people down. Kurt Russell's point is, if you inject guns into the rest of the group, the victims, then the tables are turned. Now it's not the victims worrying about what's going to happen next. Now the shooter has to start worrying what's going to happen next. That's clearly the only answer, because we can't get rid of guns. We don't want to get rid of guns. But we need people that are armed to put these individuals down, and we have to stop pretending that this is kindergarten. And, you know, if as long as you send the people that disagree into the kids that disagree into the corner, the world's going to be a happy place. No, it's very dangerous out there. And the only way to make it safer is to get more hands into law-abiding citizens. That's the point. Kelly O'Connell, 652 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. Got Walt Rubel coming in. We're going to talk about, amongst other things, Akiki and the county commission in the next hour. All right, so just a few headlines for you. ICE brags about catching 0.0002% of illegals, criminal illegals. That's right. You know how minuscule that is? ICE bragging about catching 0.0002% of criminal illegals. We're totally at the mercy. I'm asking you, if you had Trump or Cruz or anybody else in there, are we really going to have a border that is just an open sign? And idiotic politicians like Pelosi coming down, welcome Americans. I mean, do you understand the level of treason that represents? I'm going to come down and totally defy the laws of this land. I don't care about security. I'm going to welcome you in. Welcome, Americans. Nancy Pelosi is criminally insane. Nobody does something like that unless they want their country to eventually collapse, right? I mean, you ever ask yourself the Harry Reid's, the Nancy Pelosi's, what are the deep beliefs of these people that they seem to be so antagonistic against our traditional way of seeing things that has been so successful? We've built the greatest country in history, and now we're supposed to go around and come apologizing about it, right? And repenting for our sins and doing everything we can to so-called level the playing field. It is just so incredible how far the left has gone into this suicide zone. This, you know, we're going to, you know, basically, we're just going to expose ourselves to every danger in the world. And it's amazing to me how the GOP has just kind of followed along and just become so weakened or distracted or whatever. But, you know, here you've got Paul Ryan agreeing with Nancy Pelosi on this supposed super deal they're making, and they're not going to block refugees. The average American is very nervous about where the refugees are coming from, what they believe, what their intentions are. And we see in poll after poll, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80% of these people in the various countries believe in jihad, believe in a violent overthrow of the government if need be. are not in favor of a constitution or democracy. They want Sharia law. They're not opposed to jihad. So, but we're just going to open the door and bring these people in. I don't have problem with refugees, but why is common sense flushed down the toilet when we're talking about this? I mean, I don't understand the purpose of just acting like, you know, one person in the White House makes a decision. It's therefore the right decision because he happens to be an authority. Everybody capitulates to it. It doesn't matter if it lays an axe to the root of democracy. If it's actually, eventually, if we apply these ideas long enough, they're going to kill the republic. It doesn't matter. Don't fight it. The GOP, give me a break, but the far left, you're killing us. Anyway, Kelly O'Connor, we're going to have Walt Rubel in the studio here in just a minute, and we'll be back after a break on the hour. And I've got Walt Rubel here, of course, and we were just kind of talking about some of the notable local stuff, such as
well, you had Kiki on the other day or yesterday. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. And I was on vacation last week, so I was
how convenient.
Yeah, I was not working. I was here in town, so I was following it all through the news like everybody else. But that was one of those occasions where the photo. We ran it six columns, top of the page, as big as you could run it, where Kiki is in mid press conference announcing how he's taking over the jail, and Julia Brown shows up with a restraining order,
and she slam dunks him
and saying, "No, you're not." Yeah, she goes
in there, she steps in the middle of the paint and goes up and throws down a slam dunk that hit.
She posterized.
Yeah, she posterized, and it hit the microphone and bounced off.
Yeah,
and Kiki turns around and says, "Can you believe that?"
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it was just priceless. The expression on his face, and I'm not sure the officer standing behind him, but and her expression. I mean,
probably Ken Roberts.
Yeah, it may have been Ken Roberts. So an interesting week at the county. There have been a lot of interesting weeks at the county. My take is that. You know, I am glad that Kiki is looking into this stuff. I will say that
you guys ran three stories on this.
Oh, we love it.
On the same day. So you obviously have an opinion and some information on this.
Oh, sure. But I'm not sure that I personally have any. You know, we're not holding out. Like you said, we've run three stories.
You never know. Well, you might have something in your pocket.
One of the things I will say, and I don't know that we've reported this, is that both Kiki and Mark D'Antonio are saying we haven't necessarily laid out all of our evidence yet.
They're still collecting evidence.
Right. And they're also saying that we just showed what we needed to show to take it to get the court's trial.
Uh-huh.
And so, but having said that, I obviously it's not just Kiki. D'Antonio thinks there's a criminal case to be made here as well. I'm not sure I see it.
Well, the way you laid it out in the paper, the way it was, the counts made it look like, and I couldn't help but notice this, that all of the stuff that was spent out of the fund were the type of things that prisoners needed.
Yes, exactly. Well, we had a brilliant sell off, which I'm loath to say that because of the
seems
way I feel about sell off.
Contradiction.
Exactly. But somebody made the point that his head did not roll after the Slevin verdict when the county lost $15 million. But now it's going to roll over the toothpaste fund. And just beyond that, I mean, it seems to me that they were told by Milton Duran, the county auditor, years ago, that this rule is so written so vague and the controls over that fund are so loose that, you know, we don't know if it's a crime or not. That the,
how do you break a law that's not there?
Exactly. And the county did nothing about it. I mean, that's the frustrating part. They were told that by the internal auditor years ago and just let it sit there. And now they're saying it, the way it was misused was a crime.
All right. So do you so I couldn't help but notice in the various articles.
Yeah.
You guys put in more than a page, by the way. You put in several full pages of reporting on this. I can't help but draw the conclusion you're blaming the county a little bit for being dilatory, for not being on top of this in past years.
Well, we have not written that editorial yet.
But it's coming.
but I think that's where the reporting leads. I mean, I think that is the natural conclusion that you draw from the reporters laying out the facts as they are now.
I drew another conclusion, which you may or may not be sympathetic with, but and I'm looking for the sound off to see what was in there. But as usual, my multitasking skills are non-existent. But if not for the battle between Billy Garrett and Kiki Vigil over the budget that started off his there was no honeymoon period. He comes in and immediately has this kind of this rejection, look at the hand moment. If not for that, I just don't. This is my gut. And I asked Kiki about this. He really say anything. I don't think that this jail thing develops in the way because there would have not have been animosity and a doubt and a lack of faith. And I think the sheriff would have worked with the county commission. That's my gut.
I'm not sure that I agree with that. And the only reason I say that is I just think Kiki has had his eyes on that jail position since day one.
Uh-huh.
And when we had him in here and we talked to him on your show a month or so ago, I mean, you asked him flat out if that was the case. And his answer was something like, well, you know, I have experience running jails. I mean, so and he said the same thing to us. But the editorial board asked him the same thing flat out. And he gave us the same answer. And so this is a case where even Ben Rawson, who has been his supporter from day one on the financial end.
Sure.
Has said, no, that the county commission gets to make that decision, not the sheriff.
How about this? The county commission has granted itself authority in 1989 over the jail.
Yeah.
That's not inherent in the state constitution. It's not inherent in the statutes. But, I mean, obviously the statute says that in the statute that talks about it, it's the sheriff, or these people appointed by the county commission. But maybe the county commission just resents getting this bequest that they made to themselves, this gift that they made to themselves. Kiki comes in and says that, you know, the statute doesn't really read like this, guys. But I will admit to you that the way that it was done came across as overly muscular, as overly authoritarian.
Well, and he said that I had to do that because if I didn't, there might have been a riot.
That's the question.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not an expert on jails. He has way more experience than I do. That sounds, knowing how ambitious he was and knowing how much he wanted to get his hands on the jail, to me, that sounds like an
excuse. You think it would have been a better move to take over the mayor's office?
Well, no, listen, I don't know how the original ordinance was written, but if you think that's wrong and if you think you should have authority and they shouldn't, then you file a lawsuit.
There's a way to do
it. To court.
There's a way to do
it. That's right. You don't manufacture a crisis.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Was there a possible scenario where he goes in and takes over the jail and keeps it? Do you think that was out there?
Well, I in his mind, I think so. But I think that the county was obviously prepared for that scenario. It didn't take them long to swat it down.
Now, Nelson Gooden goes in there and files on this thing, and he becomes, in some sense, listening to the folks, he and Julia Brown are the people that are getting criticized.
Getting criticized for what and by who?
They're getting criticized. Well, supposedly Nelson took over a meeting down in Sunland Park. Nelson has become, according to, you know, I've talked to everybody involved in the case.
Right.
Nelson is the attorney for the county and therefore should be neutral
correct
on this. And he's stepped in as a partisan. He's been criticized for that. Do you criticize him, or do you think that...
I think that's a fair criticism. I do. And the other thing that has concerned me about him has been his use of attorney-client privilege to shield public documents, what I believe are clearly public documents. I mean, you can say, I talked to my attorney about anything, I guess, and then claim we can't give those documents to because I talked to my lawyer about it. That can't hold up. I mean, if...
Ultimately not,
yeah,
right?
That's right. And so, yeah, I think there's some concern there. I think he has not played the role of the traditional county attorney where you're strictly there to give legal advice.
Right. Now, I know Nelson. He's a smart guy. He's a good-hearted guy. But, of course, that doesn't mean that he didn't, look, these are public positions.
Yeah.
By definition, they're open to criticism.
Exactly. And what ultimately that comes down to the county commission. I mean, they hired him. If he is overstepping his bounds, which he may be, then it's up to them to,
but
establish
them. They're the one. I think people should remember this. He's not going to take any moves without the county commission telling him.
That's right.
I mean, I think it is unfair to say he did this lawsuit. It's like he's got his own law firm.
No, he is an at-will employee. They can fire him at any time for no cost.
Yeah.
And so that's correct. I mean.
All right. So how about Julia Brown? Is she do any criticism? Walt, I thought you were talking about the optics. I thought it was one of the most hilarious things I have ever seen in my life when she came up and put in that reverse slam dunk.
It was. It absolutely was. And so, okay, that moment goes to her. But is there criticism as to how the county has been managed for her tenure? Yes, there is.
I can't really repeat this. I'm trying to, I have to be careful not to repeat stuff that people have not given me as you do too. All right. So let's take a little break here. We got Walt Rubel here from the Sun News, head of the editorial staff. And are you still kind of a beat reporter, or are you just sitting over there smoking cigars?
Yeah, I'm doing stories as well.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. He has not entered into a bourgeoisie period. 777.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
717 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450. If you have a question, a comment, or maybe a little juicy inside information, call in. We'll be right back.
I want it, and I need it, and someday, someway, whoa, 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 I'll see it.
Well, it's 7:21, and I'm here with the chief editorialist of the Sun News, Walt Rubel. We've got a clip here for you of the press conference and the interaction, the restraining order slammed down by Julia Brown. Was an amazing moment in the history of the county. Check it out.
Administrator arrested. He's now jailed in Lovington, New Mexico, near Carlsbad. KBIA.com also streamed the news conference live as the sheriff announced Chris Barela was taken into custody. New at 6, ABC7 just got Chris Barela's mugshot from the security director of the Lea County Jail. That's where Barela is being held on embezzlement and fraud charges. You might remember back in August, you heard Chris Barela telling ABC7 Sheriff Kiki Vigil was wrongfully connecting him and connected him to things missing from the jail.
He has an agenda. He has a plan. Fine, you want to take over the jail, Kiki? Okay. But do it like a man with integrity. Go to the commission. Let them know you want the jail. Let them know you think you can run it better.
ABC 7's Jamie Rowan brought you live coverage of the Sheriff's News Conference on ABC 7 at noon today. She's live with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom with what she's learned since then. Jamie.
Estella. At the government center about development. This order was handed to the sheriff only about an hour ago, forcing his deputies to immediately leave the facility.
There's several charges on him. That's the reason he was taken into custody.
We certainly hope that ultimately he is proven innocent.
Sheriff Vigil announced at a commissioner's meeting, 10-year jail administrator Chris Barella was arrested and has since been taken to a facility in Lovington, New Mexico. In the meantime, the sheriff took control of the jail, saying he needed to ensure the safety of inmates and staff. However, his deputy's stay at the facility was short-lived as Julia Brown served him a temporary restraining order.
He premises at the detention center immediately.
I'm holding a press conference, and she approaches me like this.
It was probably the only opportunity I would have to see him since he won't talk to me.
I've got to play this slam down again. Here we go. Check it out.
Temporary restraining order.
The premises of the detention center immediately.
I'm holding a press conference, and she approaches me like this.
It was probably the only opportunity I would have to see him since he won't talk to me.
The operations.
I believe it was an illegal and inappropriate activity.
This order was obtained without even notifying me, nothing like that.
The authority for running the detention center has resided in county management since January 1st of 1990.
A permanent injunction will be set later this month. Barella's bond is set at $35,000. Reporting live from the Doniana County Government Center with our New Mexico Mobile Newsroom, Jamie Warren, ABC 7. Okay.
Reactions, Waltz.
Well, they both said the same thing. We can't talk to each other. I mean, that's essentially what they both said, was that, you know, I had to do it at the press conference because otherwise he won't talk to me. And he said, well, why didn't, you know, clearly, how could... So the, getting back to your earlier question about criticism of the management of the county, how could that be a good thing when your sheriff and your county manager can't talk to each other?
Oh, okay. So this is a sign of larger dysfunction, in other words.
Enormously larger dysfunction, I have to say.
And, what's at the root of it, in your opinion?
It's all personal. I mean, clearly it's all personal. I do believe that Kiki, in his mind, thinks that he is acting in the best interests of his department, certainly, and I would agree with most of that. And I think he probably thinks that there are problems at the jail, and there probably are, and he thinks he could do a better job, and maybe he could. But, you know, he has this kind of Al Haig, and I'm dating myself here, but folks who remember I'm in charge now. I mean,
Reagan was shot.
Yeah, that's right.
And Al Haig said, I'm in charge here now. And, that's an interesting analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do we go for healing?
That is a very good question. I wrote a column 2 weeks ago saying, why don't Billy Garrett and Kiki Vigil just start talking to each other again? And obviously, I didn't think that was going to have any impact, and it hasn't.
What if they did a retreat to Woodstock, New York?
Did that thing where they fall backwards and they catch each other. I mean, maybe that would help. I don't
building
know.
Building trust.
Yeah, building trust, right. I don't know, Kelly. This is a mess.
Well, I mean, you're a student of this county, so I'm going to go back to, because I don't know of a better way to explain it. There was a loss of faith from Kiki. Kiki came in.
Yeah.
You know, the previous sheriff didn't do what he should have. He kind of fell down on the job. I'm coming in. I'm going to do A, B, and C.
Right.
He tried to do that stuff, and here's what I don't understand. Was he promised something by Billy Garrett that turned out to be a lie, or was it a misunderstanding? Because Kiki wrote an article about some of the changes that were going to happen and the money that was going to come in, and it would, you know, I don't know enough about the decision making and the communication by Billy Garrett, but it seems to me that Kiki is acting out of this script where Billy Garrett immediately screws him over.
Yeah, no, that's certainly in his mind. That's how all of this is playing out. And I will note that Lost, amidst all of this stuff that happened last week, they did approve pay raises for the deputies, for the sheriff's department.
How much pay raise?
Well, I don't remember the exact numbers, and you know, I'm sure they weren't what Kiki was looking for or Ken Roberts, but they were increases. I mean, so they're.
But I mean, was it a 1%? I mean, was it meaningful?
Fair question. In the break, we could probably look that up and get the answer to that.
All right. So if you were brought in as a mediator, what would you do besides encourage each of them to fall in the other's arms?
You know,
backwards?
I honestly don't know. I mean, that's the thing about a sheriff is you are an independently elected official, kind of the same situation we have with the treasurer, where we have somebody that I think a majority of the county would love to get rid of, but we can't because he's independently elected.
He's found a way to just become invisible. It's amazing.
Well, from what I've told, he never was the guy who, you know, showed up to work every day and was there 9 to 5 and, you know. And so
are we talking about the county clerk or the
no, the treasurer, David Gutierrez?
We're collecting a real team here.
Well, you know, the county clerk, to me, there was, you know, employees who obviously violated law, but that's different than doing
it
yourself.
Well, I 100% agree. But ultimately, we like the kind of leadership that says the buck stops here.
Sure.
Where was Lynn Ellens taking a nap when the buck was stopping by?
Well, I will say this, that and it was probably Scott Kraling as much as Lynn Ellens that did it, but they did put together a task force. They did look at the problem, and it included Russ Allen. So it wasn't just, you know, Democrats on the task force, and they came up with a pretty good solution. I mean, as closing the barn door after the horses are gone, I get that part of it, but you know,
it's another sign of dysfunction at the county.
It is clearly. Clearly.
I don't mean to keep pointing fingers at Billy Garrett, but I mean, instead of worrying about this 10-year plan, what is he doing to build teamwork, to build a tight group?
Well, that's hard for me to answer. I would say that really isn't his job. I mean, that's Julia Brown's job. And
I've been told that without getting into too much detail, that her job performance is viewed by many as a failure up to this point.
I've been told that as well, with the same caveats as you've laid out there. But what ultimately does that mean, I guess, is the question. We know that she just had a performance evaluation. What comes of that, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any move publicly among the commission itself to move in a different direction.
Well, maybe they'll give her a raise, kind of encourage her.
Yeah. Maybe they can talk to Robert Garza about when he leaves the city.
Robert Garza is leaving. Kelly O'Connell here with Walt Rubel and just chatting a little bit about the county, and we're going to come back and pick it up a little bit more. Anything else you want to get into today?
Well, we could sure get into all the stuff you were talking about before with the presidential race.
Let's
so there's a
gears.
Debate tonight.
Let's
that,
shift
yeah.
Okay, that's right. We'll be right back. All right, so 7:35, and we're gonna get into a little bit of the Trump phenomenon,
yeah,
I guess.
Well, the big debate not tonight, the last one of the year for the Republican side. And Donald Trump is 40% now.
41.
Yeah, wow.
And 33 points above his rivals.
That's amazing.
And so it doesn't look like the statements about Islam have hurt him. And he just launched a devastating attack against a shot across the bow to Hillary. So this guy gets in. Let me ask you this, how good you are at predicting horse races.
Yeah.
He gets in as a presidential candidate. What odds do you get him getting into the White House?
I'd put it 3-1 against. You know, I think Hillary will be, and clearly it's going to be Hillary, will be the favorite in that race. But the assumptions, and certainly my assumptions about Donald Trump
have been wrong up to this point.
That's exactly right. I mean, I have been among the, you know, the media chattering class who have been saying, well, you know, this is a phase. This is a fad that the Republican voters will come to their senses. Maybe this is their senses. Maybe there is a majority, at least among that party, who have decided that it's time to blow it up and start all over.
Well, either that or they're so frustrated and they want someone to represent this frustration and anger and this sense that Obama has wasted 8 years.
Yeah, well, clearly there's that sense, and he has tapped into it masterfully. But he is promising. I mean, if the complaint about Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and other establishment Republicans,
Paul Ryan included.
Okay, but I mean, if the complaint is that they have promised things that they can't deliver, and people think that Trump is going to be different, that he actually is going to deliver on his promise that we're not going to let any Muslims into the country.
Well, what if he, you know, this is an area of federal control. What if he just makes a rule, no people from Muslim countries can't come in without 5 years of background?
That's not what he's promising.
What is he promising?
He's promising no Muslims get into the country.
Well, what he said in addition to the initial statement was that he's not talking about people that are residents or citizens.
That's right. He immediately started adding qualifiers as he had to. But what you're saying makes a lot more sense, and I think would be a lot more legally defensible, that we are going to not allow, doesn't matter what religion you are, we are not going to allow anybody in from Syria and Pakistan, or, you know, pick which. That, I think, is defensible.
Well, I mean, I think that what some of his critics haven't noticed is he's very fast on his feet at shifting gears, and I believe he's the kind of guy that if somebody comes up and says, if he were president, this is not legally defensible, he will come up with something that's defensible because, as a businessman, he's a practically oriented person.
I agree with that, but my point is, if you are a Republican-based voter and you have been promised that we're not going to let in any Muslims, and okay, Donald Trump gets elected and negotiates that and finesses that and gets whatever he can, you're not going to be satisfied with that. That's what Boehner did. That's what McConnell did. That's compromise. And that's the last thing these people want is compromise.
I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think that people are tired on the right of being totally defied and not just demonized by this president, but totally defied. And they see a lot of the president's decision making as not just being not part of their political beliefs, which is comes with that saying because he's in a different movement, but being illogical and even dumb. That they're frustrated by that, and they want someone to stand up and at least broadly outline, you know, their convictions.
That's fine. But like I said, don't be duped into thinking that he's going to do what he says he's going to do, because he can't.
He can't build a wall?
I don't know if he can build a wall.
It's already legislated. It was already supposed to have been built years ago.
Well, is it legislation that is still on the books?
I think so.
Okay.
But I'll have to look into
that. If that's the case, then the answer is yes, he can. That's not, you know, that's not the end of his promises. Can't he get rid of all of the 11 million that are here now? No, he can't.
Oh, I don't think he wants to.
Well, he said he did. He's promised that
he's a negotiator. I believe he's putting out negotiating points.
I do too, but he's making them as he's promising the Republican base that this is what he's
Look, let me ask you this. He promises to get rid of 11 million and ends up getting rid of 1 million. Doesn't that satisfy to a large extent?
No.
I think so. Because nobody's like getting rid of these people now. All right. So people are frustrated that they see the laws are broken. They don't want, for example, a bunch of people to come to the border on their own and decide that they're going to become Americans without us having any say about
it.
And then they come in and the government not only doesn't try to eject them, but wants them to spread them around the country. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Thomas Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey. Good morning.
Morning. How you guys doing this morning?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing good. I got two comments. I just kind of turned the radio on. I kind of heard some things you were saying. One of the problems with what's going on with not allowing Muslims in or not, you know, or whatever, what it stands for or whatever, you can't necessarily say from this region because they've already had so many refugees getting out to other areas that, like, there's and
Jeffrey, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, yeah. Can you do it? Yeah, you sound better already.
Yeah,
I'm having a real hard time understanding you.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. What I was saying was that, and with what Donald Trump was saying, is that he was going to temporarily block Muslims until they can be vetted better. The problem is he kind of, unfortunately, most of the terrorists, or all the terrorists, are Muslim based. So, yeah, there's going to be some that are going to be profiled that are going to be innocent. But you have to do that to a certain degree because you can't say people from Syria can't come or from here can't come because for over the years, so many of these people have already come and went to other countries.
Right.
And so you have to have something that, unfortunately, is going to be a general blanket in order to help protect us.
All right. So you're saying that there's people in, say, for instance, France or England,
Canada,
who've relocated that could then come in here.
Yes.
How about the doctor from Canada? We're more concerned about the doctor from Canada who happens to be a Muslim than we are the person coming from Syria?
No, I'm not saying we're more concerned about that.
Well, then why are we looking
at
him and not the other?
We have to stop because the terrorist faith is in a Muslim or Islamic faith. So, unfortunately, we have to stop. In my opinion, we have to put a blanket down to stop the 1% that comes across that are terrorists. We're not saying that we're going to block them all. They just need to be vetted better than what they
are.
All right.
Your second point.
My second point is I would like to think that every American out there understands when people are running for president, they make promises, but we know that that is not necessarily a promise that they make. You know, they can't hold their promises because they only have so much power. They have to work with the House and the Senate in order to get stuff, resolutions passed. And I think I would like to think that a true-blooded American understands that, but I could be wrong.
I think you're giving your fellow voters too much credit. I would hope that people would, anybody paying attention would understand that, but a lot of people don't pay attention.
Thanks for the call, Jeffrey. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here, and I got Walt Rubel from the Sun News editorialist, 744. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450 at 744. And it is a little bit over 30. It's about 35 degrees out there. Kelly here with Walt, 747, flying the friendly skies. And all right, Walt, so do you have any predictions for between now and Iowa?
Well, I think tonight's going to be very interesting, the debate tonight. Everybody has got, everybody meaning all the other Republican candidates, have got to be looking at Donald Trump and that 40% number that just came out and thinking this is my last chance. I mean, if you're Chris Christie or if you're Carly Fiorina, you know, hanging around in the 5 and 6% range, Rand Paul, who barely made it onto the stage and probably shouldn't have, whatever you've got in your quiver, it's time to unload it because, you know, this is your last shot. And so I think Trump understands he's going to be standing in the middle. And I suspect that everybody's going to be taking shots at him all night. And
It only makes him stronger. It's like one of these Godzilla movies.
That's just what I was going to say. That's exactly right. I mean, which I think will do nothing but help him.
Well, you know, when people talk about you all the time and all of the media is on you, and I mean, it's supposed to be the left that gets all the favorable coverage.
Yeah.
It should be Hillary's time to shine. And what I've noticed is that this guy is just, you know, just a superb feel for this.
He is a master. And we were talking about this off air, but he doesn't have to spend money. All he has to do is pick up a phone. And
he spent about $4.5 million and Jeb Bush has spent $45 million.
Yeah. And he has worked Twitter better than any candidate since Twitter is around. And he does it all himself. You know, it's not some sharp. I mean, he's sending all of this stuff out himself. And he it has a knack for being able to tap into, you know, what you were talking about before, that resentment that has built up over 7 years of the Obama presidency.
Well, you know, one of the things that I disagree with, and I hear people saying, you know, it's just this angry rednecks. I think it is across the board on the right, from the most uneducated to the most highly, PhD level of conservatives, that their voice has been not just ignored, but trashed by the president, which I think is a bad move. I think it's a bad, if you're trying to build, by definition, a president has to try to build a consensus to regularly trash the motivations and instincts of your opponents after getting into office like that, I think is a total, lays the basis for a disaster.
I agree. I think it has happened on both sides. I think it would, you know, not be fair to say that hasn't been going both ways.
There's only one president, though.
No, I understand. But certainly he has been demonized. And, you know, we all are aware of Mitch McConnell's famous line saying, you know, my number one goal is to beat him in the election. Not my number one goal is to effectively run the Senate and get out good legislation. But getting back to your original point about Trump and people underestimating him and thinking that it was only, you know, rednecks and uneducated people who were his supporters. I mean, I'm as guilty of that as anybody. That was the conventional wisdom of the pundits. And I think still is. And I'll give myself credit for this much. I don't hold that opinion anymore. I mean, he clearly has a much broader base of support than that. They are people who I don't think are changing their mind. I think that, you know, this thought that, well, this is the one that gets him. I mean, every couple of weeks there, Trump will say something and, you know, the cognoscenti will say, okay, this is the one
he's
that takes
now.
Him down. That's right.
It's like going after a vampire.
It is exactly right. That's right. And it only makes him stronger.
As a zombie, you need to get the knife in his brain.
Yeah.
Here's a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
I can't wait. I am on pins and needles. I got all my snacks ready to go for tonight's debate. This is going to be better than the old-style Keystone Cops comedy. That's all I want to say. Good morning to you, Kelly.
Good morning, Frankie.
Frankie. How you doing?
Frankie, most people don't consider vodka a snack, but I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Well, I'm just telling you, I think it's so exciting. I mean, the guy, you have to, and I agree with Walt, as I normally do, that he has this magic bat. Now, you can attribute that to his television exposure, or his ability with that, but I do believe, you add that, along with his insane narcissism, that's a very long word, I know, but the point being, though you add those two things together, that... What'd you say?
You still there, Frankie?
Are you?
Yeah. I mean, you're breaking up. What happened?
No, I think that you may be phasing in and out of consciousness.
No, you're lots of luck on that. I'm a learned liberal. That'll never happen. Anyway, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, I mean, the guy is a serious bomb thrower.
No,
I mean, some of the things, he's just, by every single normal, I put the operative word normal, stretch of people's political sense, this guy is off the radar screen. He appeals to the base interest, the base instinct, literally almost it. He is into the it.
I think that's right.
Just like Obama did. Anything else, Frankie?
No, that's it. But you guys just keep on rocking. I just love this stuff. You know what I mean?
Thanks,
so,
Frankie.
Go Trump. Hillary 2016. Yeah.
Frankie, remember, don't drink on an empty stomach tonight.
No, I'll be watching tonight too,
that.
Frankie. It'll be fun.
Bye-bye.
All right, talk to you. Folks, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back with Walt Rubel to finish it up.
Pop quiz. Top shot. Where's one of the states... Thank you.
So you're going to watch tonight, obviously.
Yeah.
So if Trump gets in, who's his vice president? Cruz?
I don't see what Cruz brings. I mean,
I do. Trump is not, especially religious person. Cruz is a son of a man.
That's true. But those folks are either going to vote Republican or not vote. So they, you do.
Cruz is a real conservative. Trump is seen as a fly by night.
I agree. But in my opinion, Cruz has the same problem that Bernie Sanders has. Cruz is too part of the right.
And Bernie Sanders
is the most unlikable person in Washington.
Bernie Sanders, though, is just like walks past opportunities. He gets a chance to trash Hillary on Benghazi and says, "Well, we talked about that enough."
Democrats aren't looking for somebody to trash Hillary.
You need opportunities.
Well, you need to understand.
And just finishing up here with Walt. So, Walt, what are you looking for tonight in the debate?
Well, like I said, I think it's going to be pile on Trump time. I think he will be parrying. Is that when you're fencing?
Yeah.
I think he will be doing that all night long. I think he's pretty good at it. I think he will have, you know, when they are playing the film clips after the debate is over, I think 70% of them will be Trump. And I think the Republican establishment is quaking in their boots. I mean, there's talk about a brokered convention. There's, you know, I can't see that happening. I Trump coming to the convention, obviously, if he has enough delegates, then there's no question. But if he has, you know, way more than everybody else, but not quite enough, and they give it to somebody else.
You know, what are the rules on that? How are they going to give it to him?
Well, I think the rules are that they're making it up as they go. I mean, assuming because that was what this meeting was about last week, that there was all this reporting on that McConnell was there and Reince Priebus. And what they're saying is they're just preparing for what they do if nobody comes to the convention with enough delegates that they have it locked up. But it certainly was interpreted by some people as more than that, as, you know, how do we screw Donald Trump if he, you know, because how do we take this away from him if he legitimately wins?
Let's just say that he legitimately wins or is in a position to win,
right,
and it's suddenly taken away. What happens to the party?
I don't know. I don't know if it survives it. I really, and it's probably not going to happen. But I do understand why there is angst. I understand why if I was a Trump supporter, I would be nervous about, can he win this thing fair and square? Well, will they let him win it fair and square?
I mean, it seems to me that you're almost putting out a position, and maybe this is represents the party at the top of the heap, that they'd rather go into Death Star mode. They would rather self-destruct than have this guy represent them.
I think that's true, but I think they're also looking at it as if Trump is at the top of the ticket, they believe that's going to hurt them not only in the presidential race, but in the Senate races and the House races and in, you know, all the way down to the county commission races. And so, you know, that's their concern.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on as usual.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And I tried to get a hold of you to come on Monday but I don't know if you're checking your phone, but.
I was on vacation last week and I was sleeping in. you were calling too early.
Indeed. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Kelly O'Connell. So we're doing a little bit of technical stuff right now on the equipment. So have a great day. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell, AM Los Cruces.
Yeah, I don't know what that's.
I have no idea. Second coming, maybe.
Ghost.
Bring it back immediately. Just bring it back immediately.
Well, again.
See what happened here is that it's not running on the GPU.